A Story Publishing presents Digital Dusk. Anna Delgado woke before her alarm, but the thin, indecisive chime still sounded, neither lullaby nor warning, designed to slip through dreams without consequence. She never hit snooze. Her sleep arrived in fragments, easy to abandon. Dawn laid a pale magenta bruise across the row house roofs as she stepped outside, factory-issue blue jacket zipped to the chin. The cloth was armor, shapeless enough that no one looked twice, rigid enough to keep her conscience tucked away. The walk to work ran on muscle memory. She cut through an alley that smelled of cinnamon rolls, the cafe's Wi-Fi welcome sign hanging crooked in the window, then crossed the parking lot beneath the new 5G tower. Its single red LED pulsed like a heartbeat that belonged to someone else. A prickle crawled over her skin, psychosomatic, she decided, before she reached the service door. Inside, badge readers clicked, fluorescent light flattened color, and the endless hum of the data center erased small talk. At her quality control station, the printer exhaled warm toner and spreadsheets. Pink warning flags spat from the tray, efficiencies, error rates, even mood analytics. The efficiency dashboard, management's private oracle, hovered on the wall, numbers writhing into greener shades while reality lagged two beats behind. A flash of bright color broke the monotony. Leah Carter sailed past the cubicles, phone held low, hazel eyes tilted toward its lens instead of the corridor. Her greeting ricocheted through the ductwork. Morning, legends? Not meant for ears, Anna thought, meant for followers. Leah's stride bordered on choreography, each step calibrated for the camera. Anna silently stapled her stacks, pretending not to stare. One paperclip she turned the wrong way, Evelyn's old voice echoing, "Everything in its slot, or there's chaos." A tiny rebellion, but hers. Marcus appeared next, windbreaker straining across his shoulders, voice polished to managerial baritone. "Seen this week's numbers?" He jabbed a thumb at the dashboard. 30% gain. Town's back from the brink. "All the dashboards are up," Anna answered, neutral. He grinned, too many teeth, then moved on, leaving only his cologne and an untended flash drive dangling from his keyboard. Across the floor, Leah settled into her cubicle, which doubled as a studio, twinkle lights, faux fern, company mug angled toward the camera. Visibility was her currency, likes and shares her ledger. A notification cut across her screen, credit alert, minimum payment due, before she swiped it away and pressed record. "Locals lag unless we lead," she chirped. "Proud to power the people." Sometimes she believed it. Sometimes the words tasted like old batteries. Belief, however, wasn't the point. Rent was. The Friday all-hands meeting gathered the plant in a windowless hall that smelled of varnish and stress. Pie charts glowed over the audience. Applause arrived on cue. Marcus warmed up the crowd. More sales, more jobs, more impact. On the big screen, the efficiency dashboard spiked lime-green arrows. A fine print slide flickered. Data collection assists in personalized performance management. Innocuous words, sharp as needles. Anna noted them. Leah live-streamed them, most simply clapped. Lunch found Anna in the break room, phone in hand, pretending to scroll while two IT techs argued beside the microwave. "If that module leaks again, we're fried," one hissed. "Just slap encryption on the readout," the other replied. "Paint it gold. Call it a firewall." Anna filed the exchange in a mental folder marked later. The shift bled on. At 5:30, the ceiling lights dimmed to half power, signaling the day crew to leave. Leah slipped outside to catch golden hour for her influencer light stream, a slow pan of the sunset, the tower's silhouette, the factory mural. Her optimism sounded helium light, almost believable. Anna clocked out, detouring past loading docks that smelled of diesel and dust. While scrolling her feed, she froze. There it was, the company's newest ad, bold text over whirring assembly lines, "Foreign threats mean less work for us. Support innovation here." The font, the pacing, unmistakably Leah's handiwork. Anna's stomach tightened, though she wasn't sure at whom. Back upstairs, Marcus's desk sat empty, the flash drive still half ejected. Without thinking long enough to talk herself out of it, Anna palmed the device. "Ask him Monday," she told herself. Or forget, better yet, return it and pretend nothing happened. But the drive stayed in her fist all the way to the elevator. Evening settled like apology. Wood smoke drifted from backyards, and the 5G beacon washed the street in cold daylight as Anna walked home. Across town, Leah held her phone to the sky, chasing the last ember of color. Neither woman saw the other. yet both documented the same sunset for separate audiences, each convinced she was alone. At the corner, Anna stopped, thumb brushing the shape in her pocket. Everything in its slot. The phrase was comfort once. Tonight it felt like an accusation. She closed her fingers around the flash drive and kept walking, city lights clicking on one by one, as though awaiting instructions only the next algorithm could deliver. Monday arrived with a hard, metallic brightness, as if the weekend's haze had been scrubbed from the sky overnight. The air knifed between row houses, smelling of damp brick and burnt leaves, and Anna reached the factory gates before sunrise, craving those few hushed minutes when the building still sounded hollow. Inside, she headed straight for Marcus's cubicle. No one else in sight, only the HVAC's steady hiss and the green pulse of emergency lights. She knelt, slid the flash drive toward its USB slot, and froze when her phone erupted with alerts. The crew chat was on fire. Headlines, emojis, frantic question marks. She pocketed the drive again and followed the current of voices toward the break room. Security guards clustered behind their plexiglass like kids swapping ghost stories. Above the cubicles, a new banner glowed toxic orange. Data integrity status, under review. Leah strode beneath it, phone held low, walking too quickly to look composed. Tension ticked in the muscles of her jaw. The coffee station smelled scorched. Anna filled a paper cup anyway. Marcia from compliance edged up beside her, cardigan sleeves worrying under nervous fingers. "You read the blog?" Marcia's whisper carried. "Says management selling our badge swipes, every bathroom break, every smoke." She shook her head, half thrilled, half terrified. "Soon as legal sees it, we're toast." Anna turned the rumor over, tasting its shape. Not impossible, she thought, only inconveniently unveiled. Leah breezed in, dropped her lunch in the fridge, and gave the room a grin that didn't reach her eyes. "They'll retract by lunch," she said, volume calibrated for any nearby phones that might be recording. "Clicks first, facts later." No one answered. Slack filled with red exclamation points, then an all-staff email landed with a thud. "Mandatory quick touch, 10 a.m., Conference Hall B." Marcus. The morning crawled. Some employees pretended to work, others just hovered, refreshing news feeds. Anna filed reports with machine precision, every cell populated. Blank space, she'd learned, could be made to say anything. At 10 sharp, the crowd filed into the conference hall. Gone were Friday's lime-green success arrows. Today the projector bled a livid maroon that made every face look bruised. Marcus stepped up, tie the color of wet asphalt, and read from legal. "Regional Algorithms takes privacy extremely seriously. Allegations circulating online are categorically unfounded. No personal data have been sold or shared." He didn't improvise, didn't smile, didn't invite questions. Statement over, lights up, meeting adjourned. The room emptied like water down a drain. Near the exit, Leah brushed Anna's sleeve. "You free after close? Break room hang. Just us." The words sounded casual, her eyes did not. Anna nodded once. 6:30 p.m. Fluorescence dimmed to half-life. Most desks lay abandoned, screensavers drifting like jellyfish across the dark. Anna delayed logout, giving herself the illusion of choice, then descended the stairs. The break room sat in twilight, lit only by the vending machine's aquarium glow. She dropped ramen into the microwave queue, listened to the distant rattle of an aging HVAC fan, and tried the coffee urn, empty. Truth rarely hides at the bottom of a pot, she thought. But habits die slow. Soft footsteps. Leah arrived in gym shoes, hair in a loose knot, phone finally pocketed. She offered two sodas. Anna shook her head and tipped water into a paper cone. Leah exhaled. "Feel like Mondays just stack on each other, no edges anymore." "Been round for a while," Anna muttered. Steam curled from her noodle cup. She set it aside, produced the flash drive, and laid it on the formica between them. "Found this at Marcus's desk Friday." Her thumb stayed on the plastic. "Haven't looked, yet." Leah's practiced calm cracked a millimeter. "Think it's connected? Don't know. But I know he didn't notice it missing, at least not out loud." Leah turned the cola in her hand, watching the liquid catch soda machine light. "Marcus asked me to build that foreign threat campaign," she said, voice low. "He said fear converts better than hope." She shook her head. "Rent doesn't care which emotion pays it." Anna let the admission settle. "I figured as much. Didn't look like your words." Silence pressed in, hum of refrigeration, clock digits flipping to 1847. Then a distant badge reader chirped. Leah's gaze snapped to the door. Anna slid the flash drive off the table, but before she could pocket it, the handle rattled. Overhead, fluorescence flared awake, washing the linoleum in a cold sheen. Marcus stepped inside, shoulders broad enough to block the hall light, cologne pushing ahead of him like a wave. His smile was courteous, almost apologetic. "Evening, ladies. Thought I was the last one here." His eyes found the drive in Anna's fist, paused, recalculated. "Mind if I join the party?" Neither woman moved. The air felt ionized, the charged moment before a circuit snaps. Somewhere behind the vending machine, a compressor kicked on. Steady, mechanical, impossible to ignore. It hummed while no one spoke, counting off the seconds until whatever came next. Anna and Leah stayed motionless, pretending stillness was cover. Marcus's smile tried for friendly. It didn't reach his eyes. "That yours?" he asked, nodding at Anna's hand. His voice was velvet laid over wire. She forced a mild laugh. "Found it in your keyboard Friday. Thought you might need it back." Leah added a weak joke that fell flat. "Label your toys, Marcus." He rested a hand on the formica. The soda machine hummed like a power line over water. "Let's skip the dance," he said quietly. "Corporate's hunting for scapegoats. I don't want any of us mistaken for one." Anna eased the drive halfway across the table, near him, but not surrendered. "If it's nothing, you won't mind who keeps it. Once cameras arrive, the truth won't matter. That drive becomes the prop in somebody's headline. Trust me, you don't want to be standing next to it." Leah's phone buzzed. She ignored it, placed her hand over Anna's, then lifted the drive with a surgeon's steadiness. "We'll hold it. Neutral ground." Marcus looked from the pocket where she hid it to the dead security camera overhead. "Loyalty won't protect you," he warned. "Plausible deniability will. Don't burn it unless you like the heat." He raised the empty pot in mock salute and walked out, footsteps clipped and certain. The lights dipped back to half power. Leah cracked her soda. The hiss sounded like a fuse. Adrenaline leaked from the room. "Do you ever get used to polite threats?" she asked. "Moderation's the appetizer," Anna said. "The main course comes later." Leah tucked the drive deeper into her jacket. "Sleep on it. If the leak is real, tomorrow will be a bonfire." Anna tried a forkful of cold noodles, failed, and set them down. "Let's clock out." They left side by side. Outside, the wind had picked up. A jagged black line of storm cloud advanced from the west. Anna woke on her couch to a television shout. "Scandal! Is your data safe?" Leah's handle was trending, half accusations, half memes. Marcus appeared on air insisting the company valued privacy. Group chats exploded. "You okay? Did you know?" At the factory gate, news vans lined up like parade floats. Satellite dishes spun, Jamal live-streamed from the sidewalk. "Stay tuned, folks. This story writes itself." Inside, panic wore business casual. Security at every door, HR clutching clipboards, legal notices taped to walls. Anna filed cells that no longer synced. Leah arrived late, sunglasses hiding whatever last night had done to her. By noon, the storm arrived. Lightning cracked over the 5G tower. Generator warnings crawled across every screen. At 3:07 p.m., the grid failed. One clean blink and the building fell silent. Monitors died, HVAC side off, even the badge readers went dark. Voices rushed in to fill the vacuum. Someone started a song, someone else swore, but mostly people stood stunned, holding phones that were suddenly just glass. Anna wound a flashlight, unpinned her badge, and slipped through a side door. Rain stitched the air. Streetlights, traffic signals, porch bulbs. Everything was out. Only the low growl of a distant generator broke the hush. Her block glimmered with candles behind rain-fogged windows. Neighbors drifted onto porches, drawn by the same uneasy magnetism. Mr. Finn grilled something unidentifiable. Two kids bounced a tennis ball down the empty street. Evelyn watched from her stoop, curiosity winning over habit. Jamal planted himself beneath a leaky awning, LED light clipped to his hoodie. "Block 9 News," he announced to the dozen phones still alive. "Rain falls on everyone, no exceptions." People chuckled and edged closer. Marcia from compliance laughed too loudly, hair free of office clips. Someone passed foil-wrapped corn, someone else offered a thermos of cocoa spiked with whatever was handy. Leah appeared at Anna's side, wet hair plastered to her temples. They shared a nod, agreement, apology, or both. "If only the grid went down when we scheduled it," Leah murmured. Anna didn't answer. She watched the cluster of faces glowing in Jamal's light. Fear, relief, anger, hope. changing every second like numbers on the dashboard that used to rule their days. For the moment, the dark held them together. Batteries would die, power would return, and the world would sort itself into winners and losers. But right now, candles guttered, rain drummed, and strangers chose, tentatively, to belong. Night settled over the neighborhood like an exhale, soft and total, erasing the line between each porch and the street. Rain-soaked swings creaked, charcoal cooled to ember, and what remained of sunset bled out behind the 5G tower. With the grid still down, every sound felt unmuted, shoes on wet pavement, a kettle drum of distant thunder, the hush that follows when screens die at once. Mr. Finn's grill threw a halo of red on the curb. Neighbors drifted toward the heat, some led by scent, others by the need to see faces after hours of darkness. Children passed, a lone battery lantern like contraband. Adults told jokes as though laughter might keep the lights off a little longer. A blackout, Anna realized, was a pop quiz on character. Who gives, who hoards, who waits to see which one pays? Under a leaky awning, Jamal angled his phone, LED clipped to his collar. The battery bar hovered at 12%, but he streamed anyway. Block 9 News reporting live, population 50 and one suspicious possum. His deadpan earned a ripple of laughter from the half-moon of faces caught in the blue glow. Marcia in rolled-up sleeves, Leah rain-damp and phoneless, Anna steady at Evelyn's side. Leah's usual on-camera choreography was gone. She folded inward, wrists crossed, eyes scanning the dark like it might turn on her. Anna watched the corners of Leah's expression, noting how quickly a screen-starved influencer can look profoundly human. Food circulated in foil packets. Corn, improvised brisket, potatoes slick with butter. Somebody produced an ancient transistor radio, its single working speaker offering little more than ghostly baseball scores. Yet the street felt whole in a way the network never managed. Evelyn, perched in her wooden armchair near the curb, seemed newly awake. Candlelight silvered her white hair as she greeted each arrival. "Storm's a fair judge," she said. "No room for grudges when the power's out." Jamal teased that she ought to run for mayor. She swatted him with a paper fan, grinning. The rhythm held until a voice, tight, a little slurred, punctured it. "I heard that fear-mongering ad was your script, Leah." A man from second shift, hours recently cut, stared over his paper plate. "Management fires us, pays influencers, makes sense." Conversation thinned to wire. Leah straightened, reflex rising, then exhaled. "I wrote the words," she said, steady but audible to the whole circle. "I didn't decide how they'd be used. Doesn't change that I helped. I'm sorry for that, truly." She glanced at Jamal's lens. The viewer count slid downward in real time. Her hands trembled once, then stilled. "If anyone wants to unfollow me, do it. Tonight I'd rather be a neighbor than a brand." A long beat. Then the man shrugged. "Takes guts to say it here, not online." Tension bled off. Someone resumed strumming a guitar that hadn't existed 2 minutes ago. Jamal lowered his phone. "That's a wrap, folks. Let the night breathe." Edge of circle chatter resumed, softer, honest. Anna leaned toward Leah. "Federal investigators could land any day. I'm thinking of testifying. Flash drive evidence and all." Leah swallowed, rainwater tracking her jaw. "I torched my follower count 20 minutes ago. I'm in." Jamal, reporter turned conspirator, added, "When you go public, go loud. Quiet truth's just a rumor." Before Anna could answer, Evelyn's chest hitched. The old woman coughed, wet, insistent, then slumped. Paper cups clattered, chairs scraped asphalt. Anna caught her shoulders. "Evelyn, stay with me." Leah knelt, fingers on Evelyn's pulse. "Irregular, but there. She needs an ambulance." No streetlights meant no visible house numbers. Marcia sprinted to flag down help. Jamal dialed 911, reciting cross streets twice. Red strobes finally pierced the dark. Paramedics loaded Evelyn onto a gurney, oxygen mask fogging with each shallow breath. Anna leaned close. "I'll meet you at the hospital. Hold on." Eyes half open, Evelyn gave a flicker of recognition, or maybe Anna only needed to believe it. The ambulance rolled off, siren dopplering into distance. Silence re-knit, brittle now. Anna braced a hand on the curb. Leah squeezed her other hand once, both of them jolted by how quickly a night can pivot. A heartbeat later, the grid snapped back alive. Porch bulbs blazed, appliances beeped, and every pocket vibrated at once. The block flinched under the flood of notifications. Corporate memos, breaking news, overdraft alerts, troll replies. Leah's screen flashed. 2,487 followers. she laughed, harsh and genuine. Guess I'm officially local. Across the street, someone's television auto-booted to a press conference. Marcus, tie knotted like a tourniquet, repeated, "We regret any confusion. Independent audit forthcoming." Empty words, heavy seasoning. Anna's phone chimed again. Town hall referendum rescheduled, 9 a.m. tomorrow. The next battle already queued. She thumbed the flash drive in her pocket, then slid it into her laptop while the Wi-Fi still staggered awake. Files copied to an encrypted draft, one click from send. No more ledges, she thought, only the choice to leap or cling. Jamal's battery fell to 3%, yet his eyes were bright. "Morning's coming," he said, almost to himself. "People should see who pulls the switch." Anna pictured Evelyn under fluorescent ER lights, Leah speaking into a mic that might finally matter, and a factory manager scrambling for a narrative that wouldn't hold. She inhaled damp night air, diesel, wet brick, extinguished charcoal, and let resolve settle like cooling steel. For one blackout hour, the block had remembered how to be a village. Whatever daylight brought, that memory would travel with them, stubborn as a heartbeat. The corridor outside, emergency, glowed an unnatural, sleepless blue. Anna sat on a molded chair, elbows on her knees, watching the glass partition where nurses fussed over Evelyn's monitors. Leah occupied the next chair, a paper cup cooling between her palms. "She's in better hands now," Leah whispered. Without the phone's ring light, the freckles on her cheeks looked like constellations. Anna kept her eyes on Evelyn's silhouette. "She's tough," she said, the word small beside a life that had outlasted two layoffs and one foreclosure. Leah nodded, thumb circling the cup rim. "When they release her, we'll bring soup, together." Deal. For the first time all night, the promise felt real enough to touch. A resident in a green windbreaker leaned into the waiting room. "Evelyn Ortiz, stable. We'll keep her for observation, but you can go home." Home, Anna thought, meant a town about to tear itself in half. She looked at the clock, 7:34 a.m., and rose. Leah matched her. "We're still doing this?" "We have to." She reached for Leah's hand, squeezed once, then headed for the exit doors that opened onto a gray, wind-shivered morning. The high school gym greeted them with the smell of varnish, coffee, and nervous sweat. Bleachers groaned under the weight of half the town. Portable lights blasted every corner for the live streams. Jamal waved from a riser, LED lamp clipped to his collar. "Funeral or wake," he called, "depends who gets the mic." At center stage, Mayor Holly Cates, jackets, bangles, and smiles, tested her microphone. Feedback screeched, volunteers flinched, and the day officially began. Anna slipped onto the back row, the fox-brown Spartan banner blocking part of her view. Leah, tripod in hand, claimed a spot two rows closer, her phone already juggling three feeds. The crowd was a collage of loyalties. Workers in factory polos, church ladies in floral hats, teenagers in Yes on Nine hoodies, parents with children tugging at sleeves. Marcus entered with a small legal phalanx, tie knotted so tight the skin atop his collar blanched. His eyes swept the room but never settled. "Please take your seats," the mayor said, voice now mercifully clear. "Remember, we are streaming. Keep language respectful." Procedures rolled out like drop cloths. A clerk read the referendum clause, whether to fund a resident-run broadband utility and open an investigation into the current vendor. Applause, boos, and uncomfortable throat clearings overlapped. Speakers paraded to the microphone. Marcia from Compliance offered unmatched generational investment and looked ready to cry. Jamal, granted 3 minutes, declared, "I've seen more transparency from toddlers hiding extra snacks," and got the first genuine laugh of the morning. A mother asked, timidly, if data hacks would affect school lunch applications. The mayor thanked her and answered nothing. Throughout, Leah's camera never wavered. Every euphemism earned a tighter zoom. Finally, Marcus rose. His footsteps echoed as though amplified. At the podium, he squared his shoulders toward the lenses, not the people. "We are aware of the regrettable rumors," he began, voice lacquered smooth. "Our leadership has never authorized or profited from the misuse of personal data. An internal review indicates a single rogue employee may be responsible. Corrective action is underway." Silence followed, long and brittle. A notification pinged somewhere in the bleachers, loud as a dropped hammer. Anna's pulse thudded in her ears. She felt the old script tightening. Find a scapegoat. Save the machine. She stood before her courage could retreat. "Point of order," she said, stepping into the center aisle. Jamal's lamp re-angled, Leah's phone panned, and the viewer count spiked. The mayor blinked. Please state your name for the record. Anna Delgado, Quality Control. Her badge glinted factory blue. She set a small USB on the council table. This contains a mirrored archive of internal files, logs of bathroom breaks, keyword flags, GPS pings, all sold as targeted profiles. I extracted it Friday, verified the hash values this morning.
If truth is our goal, project it.
She nodded at the AV volunteer, a senior with trembling hands. The big screen flickered, then filled with spreadsheets stamped internal use only, do not forward. Columns of badge numbers and emotions, disgruntled, exhausted, volatile. A slide titled Surveillance Profiling, ROI hung like a confession, gasps rippled. On Leah's livestream comments scrolled too fast to read.
Reporters shoved microphones forward, phones rose like a forest.
Marcus thrust out a finger. Unverified data. This is corporate property, stolen and doctored. A low rolling chant cut him off. The IBEW rep started it. Our data, our town. Bleachers shook as voices joined. Security edged in. The mayor, eyes wide, killed her mic and vanished behind aides. Reporters flooded the floor, cables tangled ankles. Somewhere a child cried, somewhere else someone cheered.
Leah's phone kept recording.
Anna felt a hand on her elbow, an officer guiding her toward a side door, half protective, half arresting. She glanced back once. Marcus hemmed in by cameras, Jamal narrating into two mics at once, Leah standing solid behind her tripod, recording everything. The cinderblock corridor beyond the gym was almost quiet, fluorescence humming like distant bees. Anna's breath fogged as she pushed through the exit and into bright, cold air. News vans filled the lot. Dishes swiveled, searching. She pulled up her hood, slipped between bumpers, and kept moving, neither running nor hiding, just walking into a street that suddenly felt wider than before. Inside, the scrum tightened around Leah. "Did you plan this with Ms. Delgado?" a reporter barked. "Will you testify?" shouted another. Leah shielded her face with the phone still live in her hand. On screen, comments ricocheted. "You're a hero. You're complicit."
"Sign my petition. Sell your story."
She caught her reflection in a trophy case mirror, eyes wide, hair half tamed by haste. No filters, no ring light, only a woman trying to decide what came next. She scanned the crowd for Anna and saw only the door swinging shut. The chant fractured, applause fading into chaotic conversation, hope, anger, elation, fear, all at once. She pressed a thumb to the record button, ending the feed. The phone's red light died. For a heartbeat, the gym seemed smaller, emptied of its digital echo. Reporters still called her name, but their claims on her felt suddenly paper thin. Leah pocketed the phone, turned her back to the cameras, and headed for the same door Anna had taken, the autumn wind slipping past her ankles like an invitation. Outside, across a parking lot vibrating with satellite signals, two women moved in opposite directions. Anna toward quiet, Leah still inside the noise, but both past the point of return. The story now belonged to everyone who had witnessed it, and to the algorithms already slicing it into pieces. Whether it would become legend, warning, or commodity was out of their hands. They had chosen truth. The town would decide the price. Anna watched dawn drain through low clouds, each street lamp haloing the drizzle as she paced her parents' sunroom. The vinyl floor squeaked in the language of her childhood, warning, warning, while her mother coughed in the next room and her fingers tightened around a sleepless phone. Channel 7 looped yesterday's town hall clip, the 10-foot projection of her blue badge, the spreadsheets, the chant. Her father, beard gone thin, finally spoke. "They made you a hero," he said, voice rasped by an all-nighter. "Heroes attract bullets. Keep your head down till the shooting stops." She tried a smile and failed. Her inbox jittered with offers, condolences, threats. A lawyer from Regional Algorithms wrote, "Please preserve all documents, any deletion subject to litigation." She marked the email unread. Even silence counted as evidence. Two vans idled by the elementary playground. School was closed for infrastructure assessment, which meant the whole town was grounded until someone decided whose fault truth had become. At noon, she barricaded herself in the hallway and drafted an affidavit for federal regulators, every paragraph a pulled pin. "Everything in its slot, or there's chaos," her father used to say. She typed anyway. When cold air bled from the attic, she scribbled a line she could not bring herself to type. "If I disappear before this is read, you'll know why." The doorbell rang, one long
one short, courier, heavy envelope, a cease and desist masquerading as a request for clarification. Subtext clear, we can outlast you. She steadied shaking hands under bathroom water and listened to her mother's shy offer, stay as long as you need, Mija, knowing comfort could turn cage fast. Up in the attic, she buried the flash drive inside Evelyn's old thermos and shoved it beneath a deflated sleeping bag. More pings, think tank invites, cable news pitches, nonprofits promising purpose. All sounded like bonfires that wanted kindling. From Leah, nothing. Anna muted the phone, let two tearful minutes pass, then slid down the ladder. She grabbed keys, badge, hoodie. At the kitchen door, her mother gripped her wrist. Don't let hashtags do what neighbors can't forgive. Anna squeezed back, stepped into wet October air, and cut through the park. Two teens smoking under the swings hissed, factory traitor. Then another voice answered, she's why we might get decent internet. Half hostile, half hopeful, the new normal. 10 minutes later, she reached the factory fence. Across town, the smell of cold pizza and wet dog clung to Leah Carter's studio. Packages blocked the hall, a dining chair wedged beneath the doorknob. 20 hours online had silted her brain with static. Comments blaming her for the fear-mongering ad, DMs detailing her kitchen contents, a bank alert, balance below minimum. A six-figure TV offer glowed in her inbox. Exclusive, bodyguards, wardrobe, all expenses. If she framed the story their way, and let Anna shoulder the bigger sin. She read the contract twice, then closed it like a hot stove. Jamal had texted, hang in, power with the people, not over them, plus a crossed-eyes selfie outside the rec center, now hiring sign. His gallows humor steadied her more than any public apology she'd posted at dawn. Scrolling again, she found Anna's old message. You okay, Leah? And an unsent midnight draft. I'm sorry I helped sell the lie. She deleted the ramble, typed instead, rooftop at 3. You owe me a sunrise, and hit send. Tripod, windbreaker, last splash of cold brew. In the stairwell, a neighbor's gaze slid away, undecided between ally and witness. A honk jolted her off the curb and toward the plant, each block colder than the one before. Leah reached the back of the factory first. A discarded hospital ID bracelet fooled the emergency push plate, the door side open. 4 flights later, she stepped onto the unlit roof, set the tripod by the railing, and tucked her knees to her chest. Footsteps. Anna emerged, silhouette washing into lamplight. Figured you'd be here, she said, sitting a cautious arm length away. Silence settled, relieved, not resentful, until Leah broke it. I almost sold the story. Wouldn't blame you, Anna answered without looking over. I would. Every offer starred Anna the whistleblower and cast me as Leah the villain. No room for an and. The world loves binaries, Anna said. Algorithms, too. A distant siren skated down the highway. Anna's voice cracked. I'm terrified. I've been sleeping on my parents' couch so Mom can check I'm still breathing. Reporters call me Hope, but Hope's just another trap. Afraid for you or for them? Leah asked. Both. Mostly them. Reporters don't pay my mom's mortgage. Leah hugged her knees tighter. NBC called me a case study in redemption marketing. Imagine being more valuable broken than whole. Anna almost laughed. My inbox starts, dear fellow truth teller, like I applied for the job. They watched the factory lot below. A rideshare argument, a stray protest chant, nothing that required intervention. What happens if this vote goes our way? Leah asked. I'd like my secrets back. Anna said, I'd like to film things nobody pays me to record, Leah replied. For a moment, Anna placed her hand over Leah's, a small, wordless contract. Then both withdrew, embarrassed but unwilling to apologize. Leah lifted her phone. Want to stream the sunrise? Good lighting for local hero stock photos. Let's keep one moment off camera, Anna decided. Something that's ours until tomorrow comes for it. They sat shoulder to shoulder but looking outward, smoke from some unseen furnace drifting through sodium light. Colors shifted. Night giving way to the first dull blue of morning. Windows across town flared as screens came on. Ballot numbers were rolling. Leah's phone vibrated, then Anna's, pulses stacking like an approaching drumline. Neither woman flipped a screen. For one more breath, the rooftop stayed theirs alone. Quiet, cold, balancing between alarm and arrival, while vote totals, unseen but unstoppable, began scrolling into the world beneath their waiting hands. The roof was sharper in the cold than either of them remembered, like the metal had stored every unfinished argument from the night before. Anna hunched against the parapet, and watched the sky bleach from ink to pewter. A few office towers still glimmered, their windows falling dark one at a time, then blinking back as motion sensors caught the arriving day shift. Except there would be no day shift. A gust lifted Leah's hood. "Plant shutters in referendum aftermath," she murmured, quoting the headline that had looped through the night. "Feels like the words are still hanging in the air." Anna tasted iron where she'd bitten her cheek raw. Her mother's dishpan hands, her father's careful wrenches. How did you explain to people like that that an algorithm and a vote could erase 30 years of work? Leah's phone buzzed against the gravel roof. 6:11 a.m. She flipped it over. "Ready? Let's hear it," Anna said. Leah opened the local station's live feed. Tinny fanfare stumbled from the tiny speaker. Then Mayor Holly Cates, gray-eyed and sleepless, filled the screen. "Unofficial but complete," the mayor said. "Measure 9 passes, 54-46. Council will convene at noon to begin transition to a resident-run broadband utility. A reminder, whistleblower amnesty is now in effect." Leah exhaled, nothing left to inflate the sigh. "I thought it would feel like fireworks." "Give it a minute," Anna said, still staring east. Another crawl slid beneath the mayor's face. Regional algorithms to close county operations immediately. Severance in accordance with state law. Anna's knees softened. She forced herself upright. Relief fizzed for half a heartbeat, chased by dread for everyone whose badge wouldn't turn green ever again. Leah scrolled her inbox. "Podcast offers keep coming. Small town influencer topples tech giant. They want the whole David and Goliath package, and a heroine who can cry on cue." "I'm the villain in that edit. Anna, the data thief." Footsteps clanged on the stairs. Jamal's head popped up, hoodie askew, LED lamp still clipped to the drawstring. "If you two jump, I'm deleting my channel," he said. "Relax," Leah answered, half smiling. "Story's over, not our lives." He squatted beside them. "Evelyn's downstairs with coffee and breakfast tacos. Marcus donated half his freezer, stress cooking, apparently." Anna blinked. "Marcus resigned at sunrise," Jamal said. "Then floated a wild idea, pool severance, buy the factory shell, run it as a co-op." Leah whistled. "People like him usually land somewhere cushier." "Maybe he's tired of cushy," Jamal said, shrugging. "Anyway, Evelyn's in as long as someone else reads the fine print." Leah hugged her knees. "My landlord wants rent by Friday. I turned down the national show and applied for the library's community podcast grant. 2 mics, borrowed laptop, 0 sponsors. I start Thursday. You want the co-host chair?" Anna pictured the reference room that still smelled like dust jackets. "Block 9 News unplugged?" "Local bandwidth only," Leah said. "First episode, what happens after the hero shot fades?" A silence settled, less awkward than thoughtful, until the sunrise tipped fully over the warehouse roofs. A flock of starlings cut a clean arc above the parking lot, wings clicking like thrown coins. "I'm mailing the evidence this morning," Anna said. "Hard copy, certified, then I'm deleting every feed attached to my name." Leah covered Anna's hand, palm warm despite the wind. "You stopped me from cashing in on other people's pain. Thank you." "You walked away on your own," Anna replied. "I just turned on the light." They followed Jamal down 4 flights. On the cracked asphalt below, neighbors gathered in loose knots. Some curious, some nervous, all unemployed as of 20 minutes ago. "Speak." Evelyn sat in a folding chair, oxygen tank tucked beside her, knit cap pulled low. Marcus stood a few steps back, tie gone, pastry bag in hand. He nodded at Anna, not apology, not plea, just acknowledgement. Anna veered toward the rusted mailbox by the fence. She slid a thick envelope inside. The affidavit, the drive's printed logs, every ugly spreadsheet. The lid clanged shut, small but final. Across the street, notifications buzzed in pockets. Anna deleted 3 apps without opening them. Pixels winked out. The silence that followed felt like oxygen. Evelyn beckoned with a crooked finger. "Coffee's cooling, niñas. Come claim a cup before these amateurs water it down." Anna unscrewed the thermos, the same one that once hid the flash drive, and poured for Evelyn first, then Leah, then herself. The roast was burnt and perfect. Jamal handed out foil-wrapped tacos. Someone produced a secondhand PA speaker, the kind used for Little League. Leah set a dented laptop on a milk crate, clipped in 2 stubby microphones, and cleared her throat. "Block 9 News, take 1, she said, and the tiny red light came alive. Her voice was steady, unhurried. No algorithms today, just voices inside a circle of friends who still have to figure out what Monday looks like. First question. What's one thing you're willing to build together? Anna leaned toward the mic. Trust, she said. But I'm terrible with power tools, so I'll bring coffee. A low laugh rolled through the crowd. Marcus raised his pastry bag in a tentative toast. Even the kids on scooter duty paused to listen. The white steeple at St. Lucia's chimed 7 times, then, perhaps on purpose, an 8th. In the pause after the bells, Anna felt the town inhale. Not celebration, not mourning, just breath shared. The laptop kept recording. Leah guided the conversation. Evelyn on SEAM allowances, Jamal on open-source routers, Marcus confessing he'd never soldered a board in his life. The stories layered, imperfect but whole. Above them, Jamal's phone lay face up on the roof ledge, camera idle, catching nothing but sky. A porch light across the street flickered, died, and steadied again. No fireworks, no final score, just the scrape of folding chairs on asphalt, the smell of cinnamon and diesel, and the conviction, fragile, stubborn, that beginnings can sit inside endings if people make room. Somewhere far beyond Block 9, outlets would spin the referendum into victory or cautionary tale. Here, under a sky finally clear of slogans, the only headline that mattered was the one they were still writing, word by spoken word, together. Thank you for choosing a story publishing.